O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wasn't quite sure what I was going to speak about today for a number of reasons. The bishop has in recent years provided a DVD of his synod address. And nothing was heard. And because I like being prepared, I got on and got what we're going to do. You will hear what he had to say in November, a couple of Sundays into November, and we'll play the DVD then, which did eventually, as I say, arrive. But it just seems right to share and to speak some of what I'm going to talk about now. 5-year-old Johnny was in the kitchen with his mother, and she was making dinner. And she asked him to go into the pantry to get a can of tomato soup. But he didn't want to go in alone. "It's dark in there and I'm scared," she asked him again, and he persisted. Finally she said, "It's okay, Jesus will be there with you." Johnny walked hesitantly to the door and slowly peeked in. And he saw that it was dark and started to leave when all at once he had an idea and said, "Jesus, if you're in there, would you hand me the can of tomato soup, please?" And our reading from Mark, we hear the story again of Jesus telling the storm. We can well sympathise with the disciples and the fear they felt in such an amazing storm, and then the fear that they felt when Jesus dealt with it so simply. "Who is this?" they asked. It seemed to have missed them that when Jesus said that they were going to go to the other side of the lake, that that was what was going to happen. Whether they went under the lake or over the lake, it really was beside the point. If Jesus said that was what was going to happen, that was what was going to happen, and that settled it. But faith and trust comes very slowly sometimes, doesn't it? Life is an uncertain thing. And even in our relative security, there are no guarantees. And our circumstances can change in just seconds. So to understand hope in the midst of fears, we need to understand where Jesus is. Where he is in your life, and where he is when things get difficult. One of the things that Kay and I do sometimes when we're praying with people and that they are surrounded by fear, is to pray with them back into that circumstance. And it could have been way, way, way back in their life. And we say to them, when they say, "Yeah, I can see that situation," then I say, well, look around, where was Jesus at that point? And mostly always, I can't think of any occasion where it's not happened, they've said, "Oh, he's doing this, or he's doing that, or he's right there." And for the first time, in respect to this thing that made them so afraid, they recognised that they weren't alone. That Jesus was there. And often the fear just goes. And we've seen really remarkable things happen for people when that takes place. You see, Jesus does not promise to calm every storm in life. However, he does promise to calm you in every storm. We must hear that difference. As someone said, sometimes the Lord calms the storm, and sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms his child. John Wesley, who we speak of from time to time, could hardly be called a faint-hearted stay-at-home, but there were times when he lost his nerve. During one of Wesley's several Atlantic crossings, there was a frighteningly fierce storm, pitching and tossing the boat while Wesley and others clung to their bunks and hid their heads. A community of Moravians who were travelling to their homeland, new homeland, calmly gathered to hold the daily worship and to sing praises to God. Watching these Moravians, so apparently unperturbed by the howling winds and the crashing waves, Wesley realised that he was witnessing a truly waterproof faith. From that moment on, John Wesley prayed that God would give him the ability to do the same, to ride through life's storms with such confidence. What made those Moravians so peaceful in the face of the storm? It is the same trait that the disciples so woefully lacked in today's gospel reading. an unquenchable trust in Jesus Christ. After stretching out his arms and stilling the storm, Jesus turned to his companions and told them off, which I always think is slightly unfair, but he was wanting to make an important point. Crying out to Jesus in fear, they had revealed the shallowness of their faith. Although they had been specifically chosen as Jesus' fellow travellers on this journey, they'd seriously missed the boat. What the Moravians had, we could define as hope. And hope, when it's always spoken of within the Bible, is not some vague notion, which is the way we tend to treat it, but is of an absolute certainty. It is a concrete thing. They trusted Jesus with their lives and their futures, and this was something that the disciples didn't have. Hope comes from a quiet confidence in God, knowing, trusting that he has your past, your present, and your future in control. It's that pervading peace, and I've mentioned it before as I lay or sat or whatever else I did in Wairau Gorge. It's just a profound, I don't know, just knowing that one wasn't alone, that God was with us, that God was with me. The psalmist wrote, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." And seriously, where else are we going to go? If the bottom drops out of the share market tomorrow, God is still going to be God. He is still going to be the same. Or if some tragic news in your life or family suddenly happens, God is still going to be the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Same today, yesterday, tomorrow, whenever. In the prize-winning book, The Denial of Death, Ernest Becker says that so many of the fears that we grapple with, fear of rejection, abandonment, failure, separation, or loss, are but evidence of one ultimate fear, and that is the fear of death. Perhaps he is right. How do we overcome that ultimate fear? Faith is the only antidote that will exorcise the demons of fear that haunt us. And that faith is a strong companion of hope. On Thursday, a synod at lunchtime, Kay and I went in to see an old friend and a former member of my staff, Alan, who is in the hospice now in Christchurch, in Nelson, rather. And one of the things that really struck me was this absolute certainty of the presence of God, a God who had graced him 18 months longer than they said he would have. Opportunity to have gone back to England and seen some things there, and opportunity to see his children and his grandchildren, which is really the thing he says is going to be hardest for him to sort of leave, and we can understand it. But he just had a radiance, I felt, about him. A story told of Bishop Warren Chandler, a Methodist bishop at the turn of last century, and as he lay on his deathbed, a friend asked if he was afraid. "Please tell me frankly," he said, "do you fear crossing over the river of death?" "Why," replied Chandler, "I belong to a father who owns the land on both sides of the river." In life and death and life beyond death, God is with us. That is our great hope. And I want you to know that God cares if you are immobilized by some fear. He cares because that fear is intruding upon his destiny for you. It is perfect love that casts out fear. And as we grasp this, we can do little else but lean into the arms of an ever-loving Father God and allow his embrace to become real for us. The difficulty is, and the difficulty I sense, that sometimes when I'm in that place of desperation, I don't feel that. It's about rediscovering that and seeing that it's nonetheless still true. And then we, as we discover this and know this truth, can echo the words of the old hymn, "God will take care of you, he will take care of you." Trust, faith and hope, all are necessary and are not very complicated. A little girl was to undergo a dangerous operation. Just before her doctor gave her the anaesthetic, he said, "Before we can make you well, we're going to need to put you to sleep." And the girl responded, "If you're going to put me to sleep, then I must say my prayers." She folded her hands and closed her eyes and said, "Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And this I ask for Jesus' sake. Amen." Incredible, isn't it? The surgeon later admitted that he prayed that prayer for the first time in 30 years that night. The simple trust of that child inspired hope in the surgeon. I trust that he went on to grow in his maturity of prayers. I mean, there is a profoundness about the simplicity, and that should never be taken away. But as we grow in the maturity of the prayers, then there is a depth that begins to take, that comes from our hearts rather than just the simplicity of what the child prayed. But it is a good place to start, isn't it? There was a woman in a community who was well known for her simple faith and great calm in the midst of many struggles, and another woman who had never met her but had heard of her came to visit her. "I must find out the secret of her calm and happy life," she thought to herself. And as they met, she said, "So you're the woman with the great faith that I've heard so much about?" "No," came the reply. "I'm not the woman with great faith, but I am the woman with a little faith in a great God." Can you say the same? Can I say the same? Her hope was in a great God. It was nothing that she had in herself. It was in the knowledge that God is absolutely trustworthy and can be relied on. It was this that gave the certainty and the peace. And what worked for her would work for each one of us. The disciples' question to Jesus is ours. "Do you not care that we perish?" Well, Jesus doesn't care about the storm, but he does care about us who care about the storm. On a beautiful day, it's easy to sit and think good thoughts about the world, isn't it? I mean, we had one or two just lately, and we say, "Isn't the world wonderful? Isn't it fantastic? Just look at this. What could go wrong?" But you know life. There can be a darker, more difficult days to come. And we could walk around a placid lake or around some part of the sounds and think that the world is so wonderful and beautiful and harmless. But the story of Jesus and his disciples in a boat shows another world, a world where storms come up out of nowhere and puts us in deep trouble. If you have ever suffered from cancer, you know that world. In cancer, the normal reproductive processes, the natural workings of the cell, somehow go out of control, reproduce at astonishing speed, oblivious to the checks and balances of the body. The once placid lake, which has been our body on most days, has become an angry, raging sea. And the story is something about that. Perhaps you thought that there would be smooth sailing with Jesus. You thought that with Jesus in the boat, there would be no storm, no waves, no fear. Now, almost every page of Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus is the center of a storm. And where Jesus is, there is hope. Father, we thank you for the absolute certainty that there is in you. That you're the same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we can trust that. We pray that as we fear our circumstances sometimes, and our hearts become anxious and fearful about the ultimate journey of life, when we cross through death, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to discover what the Moravians had and deepen within ourselves that certainty and that faith in you, O God, and know that you are absolutely trustworthy. And that if all else is failing around us, you do not abandon us, but you hold us and you keep us. And that you care about us and what we think and fear. And you want for us to know the peace and security that you would bring. Help us, Lord, to see you when life gets tough and where you are at those moments, so that we too can rest in your loving arms, Father, and know with that absolute certainty that presence that you bring. Amen.